When Vicky Rose's husband became a believer in Jesus, she wanted to help change details of his lifestyle immediately, but she had to back off and let the Holy Spirit do his work.
If I'm constantly nagging at Billy, he can't hear the Lord. And so be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That is the message that I have to keep even now to tell myself. For me to listen to God and to listen to Billy and to keep my mouth shut and let God work in Billy's heart and life.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, February 12th.
Most of our Revive Our Hearts programs are recorded in Little Rock with our Family Life Today ministry partners. And the reason we're at WRMB Studios today here in South Florida is because we have a very special guest who's been with us on the program this week and is telling what I think is such a compelling story of the mercy and the grace and the power of God. I remember my dad used to say when we were kids, as we would talk about difficult marriages or people who were just you didn't think could ever come to faith in Christ, my dad would say, there are no tough nuts for God to crack. And I've seen that be true over and over again. And Vicky, Rose, you and Billy, humanly speaking, were tough nuts. But the Lord knew how to get a hold of your hearts. He did. And I'm so thankful that you're here with us on the program this week to share that story with our listeners.
We were very tough nuts and we were very lost. We were, as I always say, out there, drugs, separated from each other after 9.5 years of marriage, 2 young children, being a single mom, working a retailing career, traveling all over the Orient, the Far East.
Jewish background.
We had so many things going on. And most of all, there was a lot of chaos. There was just our life was in pieces. Our marriage was in pieces.
You said on one of the earlier programs that when you got married, you were thinking of going to ballet, but your husband was into baseball. And that kind of epitomizes the differences in the two of you.
We are completely different. We used to be able to say that the only interest we had in common was our children. But the interesting thing is now God's changing us so that we do have some interests in common. No, we were as far apart as any couple could possibly be. We were headed for divorce. We were headed for our children of a life of shuttling back and forth between parents and possibly even step-parents. And it was not a pretty picture.
But God and God's grace. And we've talked in earlier programs this week. And for those listeners who haven't heard the whole story, I want to encourage you to order the CD of this series, not only to listen to yourself, but it'd be a great story to share with someone that you know. In fact, I've been thinking of someone as we've been talking together this week here in the studio, thinking of someone that, Vicky, she reminds me so much of where you were.
And that's my burden and my desire is for other people to know that no matter how bad the situation is in a marriage, and ours was as bad as it can possibly be, that God can change things and restore it. And my marriage today is a treasured place of refuge for both Billy and for me.
Y'all have made it to 30 years. I mean,
that's right.
You would have never thought that was going to be possible.
That's exactly right. And we just did some simple things like trying to follow God's word. And God's word says that if you obey me, I will bless you. And he meant it. He means it. And so we're getting ahead of the story again, but God has done that so incredibly as we sought to do the things his word said in putting our marriage back together.
And so let's back up so that we can catch up on the story here. You had come to faith in Christ while you were separated.
Right.
You and your children, at your children's suggestion, started praying daily for their dad's salvation. These were little ones, 3 and 5 maybe at the time.
Right, exactly.
And they were praying faithfully, and I suppose that was really spurring your faith because at that point, you weren't really wanting to get back together with Billy Rose.
Right. They were praying. We were all praying for Billy to come to know Jesus, not necessarily for our marriage to get back together. But I remember the kids saying to me things like, if Daddy comes to know Jesus, will he come home? And and then we talked about how he did pray to receive Christ at another dinner that your mother hosted for the purpose of sharing the gospel. And the kids said, well, now that Daddy knows Jesus, when is he coming home? And I didn't know, and we hadn't worked out the issues yet. And I would share back with the children that Well, our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is not in our family itself or in our family even being restored, but our hope is in the Lord. And we just need to look to Him and trust Him and let Him work it out.
And it didn't all get worked out quickly.
No, it didn't. Billy prayed to receive Christ in December of 1990, checked into rehab the beginning of that following February, right on our anniversary, as a matter of fact.
He was cocaine addicted, as you shared earlier.
That's right. And just before he checked into rehab, I had started on a regular reading of the Bible through the year, and I had for the first time read Joel and read the verse that says, "The Lord will repay the years the locusts have eaten." And I knew God was speaking to me. I didn't know the Lord that long. I knew Him about 3 years, but I knew that verse was meant for me that day. So as we went forward, I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to hold on to that verse." Well, it turns out, studying that verse just a year ago, the word repay in the ancient Hebrew means to complete and to fulfill. And so when God is in the process of repaying the years, He has completed and fulfilled our marriage.
Restoring.
Completely restored. Yeah. So,
But it was a long, hard process.
It was a long, hard process. Billy checked into rehab. And he stayed a week. They wanted him to stay two, and I thought he needed at least a month. And he still had a business to run, a sports bar and restaurant, which I thought should be immediately sold. I mean, I had our lives worked out. Now that he'd prayed to receive Christ, I had everything figured out how it should be done.
Are you a controller?
Oh, yes, which was part of the problem.
And, so God was changing you too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so Billy checked out of rehab after a week. The Lord really visited him in a major way in rehab, his second night of trying to detoxing, which Billy had tried to do several times before. And God completely removed that night his desire for cocaine. Mm. And Billy went out that night to the floor counselor and said, "I can leave now. I'm fine." And the guy said, "I don't think so." And he did stay the week, but he has been completely cocaine free since that night. This is 15 years later.
That's the power of God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Billy came out of rehab, and I took the children. We had to go to family care, I guess they call it. And I still had a lot of bitterness. I mean, so much was, you know, he had prayed to receive Christ, and I had prayed to receive Christ. We were both now believers in Christ. We were going to church together on Sundays. He was still living in his apartment apart from us. And I figured he'd come out of rehab and come home. And he didn't figure that at all. Mm-hmm. He wasn't ready, and he had to work his program. And, oh, there were just so many issues. Even just how he dressed was so, like, single guy restaurant. And I was, you know, a mother with two young children in the preschool world. And we were just so different. We were in such different worlds. So just being together and doing things together, I mean, I'd get in the car. He'd come pick us up in the car to go to church, and he'd be blasting, you know, some rock and roll song. And it would, like, just so jar my senses, because I would have been, you know, wafting praise music through the kitchen while trying to get the kids dressed. And I'd get in the car and, you know, I'd immediately turn it off, which was such the wrong thing to do. And, you know, it would completely put him on the defensive. And
he wasn't wanting to step back into a world where he was going to be controlled. When
or
he'd been
condemned.
Free.
Exactly.
Or condemned.
Either yeah. one. And I did both. I was much holier than thou and really knew how it was supposed, quote unquote, to look. And I was not much of a help. I look back on that really regretting a lot. You can only be as mature as you are where you are. You can't do it any differently. And I didn't know a lot that I've learned since.
But you were committed to the Word of God
right.
and to pleasing the Lord.
Right.
And that's what God honored.
And thankfully, in his own way, so was Billy.
Yeah.
And therefore, here we are almost celebrating a 30th anniversary.
Okay. Now, well, you got to fill in some gaps here.
I know.
How do we get back together?
So that was February and March, and we were going to church together, and we'd do some family outings together for the afternoon, and we'd start spending time. The kids and I would start going down to the restaurant maybe Sunday afternoon to be with Billy. It was a sports bar and restaurant and open 7 days a week, seven nights a week. And I thought that he should sell this place immediately. I mean, here we are, believers in Jesus Christ. What are we doing owning a bar? Well, he really didn't think that and wasn't there. And for a guy, really, what he does is who he is. And especially someone who's a brand new believer, brand new sober, brand new trying to get back with his family. I mean, he had so much going on mm-hmm. that I was so insensitive to. I was all about my needs. I need a husband at home now, today, you know. So we muddled through March, April, and May. And his mom became very sick, and his dad as well. His dad was in his 90s, his mom in her 70s. And so we had both his parents in the hospital. And I'm just thinking, I need to not pressure him with anything. And all that was on my mind was him coming home. And the kids would say, when's Daddy coming home? And we were not near that mark. Well, we were in church one Sunday and a guest preacher came. And I kept saying to Billy, we need to get counseling. And he said, I know. But we didn't know who to go to. And the guest preacher I had met once, and I knew that he worked with difficult cases, which clearly was
certainly
us.
Qualified.
We certainly qualified. And so I leaned over in the middle of the sermon and I said, I think that guy would counsel us. And Billy said, well, I'd talk to him. And it turned out, and so we did, and the man was B.J. Weber, our dear, dear friend. And it turned out, unbeknownst to me or Billy, that B.J. Weber was chaplain of the New York Yankees.
So they had a common interest.
So they had a huge common interest. And God so orchestrated that for us. And so we started meeting with BJ, and he started leading us through a book that talked about husband versus wife issues. And my eyes were so open to the things that I had never even considered were important to my husband. And Billy's eyes were open to things that he realized I needed. And we started to work on those issues together. And we went to counseling once, sometimes twice a week.
And probably the operative word there is work.
Work. Yes, that is true.
It needed more than counseling. Just sitting in a counseling session once or twice a week would not have done it if you weren't both willing to work on it.
And committed to trying to get back together. Yeah. But I look back and it had to have been the grace of God because we were just coming from such different directions still. So we got through the summer and I was just getting really impatient. Billy would visit on weekends at the country house again in the summer. My dad's country house still let us go up there. And Billy would come up and I figured, okay, when September comes and the summer's over and we move completely back to the city, he's going to come home. I mean, it's just going to be the way it is and our life will get back to some semblance of normal. Well, normalcy. He didn't feel that way and he wasn't ready to come home. And I was devastated and couldn't understand. And I started thinking something's really wrong with me. And then I thought, okay. I met with BJ and his wife, Sheila. And they just counseled me to go about my life and to let Billy work it out and to look to the Lord and to keep seeking the Lord first. And
that meant really relinquishing your control, your hold on this situation.
Yes. And I think if that's probably not the key every time.
Yeah.
As long as I'm controlling it or I'm in charge, it means I'm not giving God the chance to do what he needs to do in Billy's life. And that's a lesson that I keep having to learn over and over, but I'm getting a little more each time. But if I'm constantly nagging at Billy, he can't hear the Lord. And so be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry.
I think it says that in the Bible.
Yeah, that's
James
exactly.
chapter 1.
Thank you. Is it 1:15, I think? That is the message that I have to keep even now to tell myself. For me to listen to God and to listen to Billy and to keep my mouth shut and let God work in Billy's heart and life. So anyway, Billy's mother became much sicker October, November. He called me one morning and she'd been rushed to the hospital. And he asked me to meet him there and I did. And he came out after getting her settled in intensive care, and he looked at me, and he said, I'm going home and packing my suitcases. I'm coming home.
Just like that.
Just like that. And I said, wow. And running through my head, though, the still Vicky who's often wanting things her way, I mean, I had pictured this very differently. I'd pictured a ceremony. I'd pictured, you know, all sorts of different things. But God really spoke to my heart right then and there and said, okay. This is okay. And so Billy did just that. He went home, he packed. And that afternoon when Douglas and Courtney got home from school, the front hall was filled with suitcases and Billy had come home. Mm-hmm. And Douglas actually went on to write a paper just about that. It was called The Best Day Ever, about when he came home from school and found the front hall filled with suitcases and Daddy had come home.
And for your children to see God move in that way, what did that do to their faith?
Wow. He came home, and a few days later was Courtney's seventh birthday, and we as a family went to see a show, see Peter Pan playing on Broadway. And we got home that night, and I was tucking Courtney into bed. We were praying together, and before we prayed, she looked at me and she said, "Mommy, you know, God can do anything." I said, "Well, I know that, but what do you mean?" She said, "If God could bring Daddy home, then he can do anything." Mm. And she was only seven years old, and that is the truth. God can do anything, and God did bring Billy home. And you ask the question, what did that do to my children's faith? Well, now the children are in their 20s, and they're not children anymore. Mm. They're young adults. And Doug is going into full-time ministry on a campus ministry, and his life is completely – I mean, it's so clear that this is what he's meant to do, and the Lord has so touched him, and he is just clearly anointed to do this, and he's raised almost all of his support, and he's heading out in a few months.
So your husband is home, and they all lived happily ever after.
Yes, and in the middle of all that, we,
but a little bit more to it than that.
There's a whole lot more to it. It's a daily process. I think even just before coming here to do this with you, these last two or three weeks have been a challenge again. And we go through seasons in our life. I know in our marriage.
Well, I assume that even back at that time, there were things you all had to work through, and you'd been apart for 5.5 years.
We've been back together a little more than 14 years, and back at that time, everything was a challenge. I mean, just about everything. I had gotten on all sorts of committees. Well, Billy was in the restaurant business, and so he would be out late at night but home in the morning. So I canceled all of my morning activities. That would be the only time we would have together alone. And I just knew I was supposed to do that. I asked, you know, the school if I could not be class mom for the second year and so on and so forth, so that we would have time alone in the mornings. And God just led us both to do different things like that to start building our marriage. And we really started from scratch. And so we started to read the Bible. And I was in a serious Bible study and that's what kept us going, was the Word of God, and kept us, you know, it says don't let the sun go down on your anger, God says. And so we would try not to go to sleep angry if we'd had a disagreement. But there were plenty of disagreements. And Billy still worked 7 days a week for the most part. And some Sundays didn't make it to church in that first year or two.
Was it hard for you not to put the squeeze on him to change in those areas?
I did. I mean, yes, it was hard for me. And then I would end up always saying something. And the Lord finally led me to a place of realizing that there was only one person I could do anything about, and that was myself and Vicki Rose. And she was a very full-time job as it was, and then I needed to leave Billy Rose up to God himself. But that took more than 5 years of his being back home for me to get to that place of really relinquishing him to the Lord. Instead of wanting him to be – I came to realize I didn't want him to be what I wanted him to be. I wanted him to be what God wanted him to be.
And that's a process.
It was a process for me to get there. And
it's a process for God to work in his life. And I think for us to be impatient and say, Lord, you have to change this husband or this child or this parent or this person and do it now. It's not the way God works with us. And it's not the way he does it with others generally.
That's right. God's purpose in each of our lives is not that we be happily married or have perfect children or anything else, but that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, his son, and that we look more like him and that we become holy.
And that really is the way to become happy.
Right.
I mean, you and Billy Rose are happily married today.
Yes.
But not because you pursued happiness. Ultimately, it's because you pursued Christ and holiness.
Right. So the way I view this now is God gave us an opportunity and used our marriage problems as the way, the vehicle to get to being more like God.
And you had to be willing for your focus to be not on God changing Billy, but on God changing Vicki.
Right.
And that's a huge place to come there, because I'm thinking of many of the letters and emails we get from our listeners who are so focused on the issues in their husband's life. And you had plenty. Cocaine addicted, living with another woman, just a kind of wild lifestyle. And you could have spent the rest of your life miserable and focused on Billy's failures. But God said, let me work in your life,
right,
Vicki.
my quiet times have gone from sometimes an hour to some days 3 hours alone with the Lord, just in a desire to know His Word and to know Him better. And that, if I had to say one thing, if I could, if there was only one thing I could tell everybody, which I is that reading the Word daily and spending time alone with God is the most important vehicle to a better marriage and to a, I hate to use the word happy marriage. Every marriage requires a lot of work and has sometimes that are wonderfully spirit-filled and fun and joyful, and sometimes are just not fun. Even today, even after all these years, we still have some times that just are not fun and I wouldn't say are happy. And I still, Nancy Lee, I still fall into the trap sometime of wanting Billy to be different. And that's a trap of the enemy, because what God wants me to want is Himself,
yeah.
More of God. Not more of Billy being a certain way or my children doing – even being in full-time Christian work. God doesn't want me to want that. He wants me to want Himself. And that's where the change comes, I think.
And that's what God wants for many women who are listening to this program today. And Vicki, if we could, I'd like us to just take a moment and pray for those listeners. Lord, I know that there are some who've been hearing this story over these last several days, and the details may be different, but they're saying, I'm in a hopeless situation. I'm at that place in my marriage where Vicki was sitting on that beach years ago saying, is this all there is? Wanting out, wanting something or someone new or different. And Lord, You have put women in the marriage they're in, not just to make them happy, but to make them holy. And I pray that You would be doing a work of grace and restoration and healing in the hearts of women who are listening today. Perhaps some of our men listeners who say, my wife doesn't want this marriage to work, and they're wondering if there's hope. We get letters from both. But Lord, You are the God who heals, the God who renews. And I pray that those who are longing to see You move in their marriage may come to You this day in a fresh spirit of humility and brokenness and surrender and say, Lord, change me. Work in my heart. Sanctify me. Purify me. Use the pain and the pressure to make me more like Jesus. And then, Lord, would You intervene in lives, in marriages? The world needs to see that You are a reconciling God. And when we see Billy and Vicki Rose, we see a reflection of Christ and His power to make all things new. So, Lord, would You do that? Would You make new some marriages that are represented among our listeners today? Would You give hope where there's been despair? Would You give a sense of confidence in You? And would You give a willingness and a courage and a faith to go on when it seems impossible and it seems so horribly difficult? Oh, Lord, thank You that You are in the process of redeeming some other Vicki and Billy Roses. And we ask You to do it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
A lot of wives have been praying with Nancy Lee DeMoss, giving control of their husbands to the Lord. Many women can relate to the story we've been hearing this week from Vicki Rose. In fact, one woman responded to the interview we've been hearing. She wrote, "This testimony has been an eye-opener for my life. If we obey God and have faith in what He's said to us, He will work in our lives." After she and her husband divorced, God started working on each of their lives. She told us that God used this interview with Vicki Rose to let me know that nothing is impossible for Him. Nancy's seen so many women in situations like this respond with toughness and bitterness. She's written a book that will provide freedom. It's called Choosing Forgiveness. This book will help you identify areas of deep hurt, get honest about those wrongs, completely forgive through God's power, and be free from the bondage of bitterness. We'll send you Choosing Forgiveness when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. Your gift will help us speak to more women who need freedom and help in tough relationships. And we'll say thanks by sending the hardcover edition of Choosing Forgiveness. Donate online at reviveourheartsradio.com or call us at 1-800-569-4242. 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. When a relationship is restored, there's life and joy and hope. We all long for that, don't we? Learn more about this tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.